bless the word this morning. You could just remember that last song. I mean, that's, I think the spirit of the word is just totally shake off the old, let's put on the new. Amen. We're going to talk about leaven this morning. For you that did not hear last week's word, it'd be good at some point to listen to it. This is kind of a part two with it. And I'm not going to take much time in trying to summarize last week. We're just going to kind of spring from what came last week. But there are a couple verses on the shepherd's heart I want us to go to this morning before we get into leaven. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. If you could turn there with me real quick. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Warning is coming here about shepherding the flock. And again, it's so important that the atmosphere we see restored in the church now is that shepherd's heart. What's the danger with wolves? And who are the wolves? A wolf is anything that takes you away from the reality of Christ. They devour your spirit. And wolves, I tell you, with a lot of things we can look and say, if you know a monster's coming at you and it makes you afraid, you know to get out of the way. But the problem when we're talking this morning about the leaven of the Pharisees and religious spirit, often wolves come not looking like wolves, do they? They don't look threatening. And a lot of what the enemy does that's effective is he comes and appears as an angel of light. But we have to find a level of discernment and spiritual awareness where we know what impacts our spirit. If something's devouring us, if something's taking us away from Christ and from the truth in Christ, that's the spirit of the wolf, and we're to be on guard for that. True shepherds are able to recognize spirits that come in to take people away from the reality of what God has spoken through his word and who the Christ is. Another verse is in Psalm 78:72, and that says, he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart. When we talk about the true spirit of shepherding, we're talking about an inner integrity. Integrity is when the external expresses rather than obscures the internal. When we are living in integrity, what's expressed through our life is the Christ that's within, the truth that's within. Our external doesn't obscure or hide that truth. So shepherding involves integrity. Shepherding involves an honesty of heart. And if we're going to ask for an atmosphere of a shepherd's heart, we're not just talking about leadership here. We're talking about all of us have a responsibility to say, Lord, integrity before you has got to be primary to me. And religious spirit is not the case, is it? In a religious spirit, it's all about image. It's all about what you project and how people see you. It's not about what goes on on a heart level. But when the shepherding spirit and the Father's heart is being manifest, it's all about what's going on inside of us. That's what's important. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 3, you can look at these later. It's not, you know these verses anyway. Says, he spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of meal until it was all leavened. When we have the shepherd's heart, we have the leaven of the kingdom of God growing in that atmosphere. When the Father's love is able to manifest, and his presence is able to manifest, you have leaven growing. But it's a leaven of the Spirit. Things of the Spirit grow. Now, I want to say at this point, there is no such thing as a spiritual vacuum. You cannot maintain that state. There is going to be leaven or yeast growing in your life. you determine which kind is going to grow and what's going to prevail. Amen. If we just turn over to chapter 16, verse 6, it says, "And Jesus said to the disciples, 'Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees.'" Here's another leaven he's describing. Now, the disciples thought he was talking about bread, and then they finally realized he was talking about the teaching of the Pharisees. So if we're not going to be a disciple, if the leaven of the kingdom is not growing in our life, then another type of leaven is going to be growing, of the Pharisees. There's going to be a religious spirit growing. Why did he tell them, beware of the teaching of the Pharisees? Watch out for it. He wasn't just talking about the doctrines. Jesus was warning them that there was a spirit behind what they were saying. Now, he described it as bread, and why is that important? What do you do with bread? You don't look at a loaf of bread and put it up on your shelf and just say, oh, isn't that nice bread up there? Bread is to eat. And the problem with the Pharisees and that religious spirit, it wasn't just teachings that went on someone's wall somewhere or just doctrines collected in their head. People were feeding on what the Pharisees were saying. And when you feed on the leaven of the Pharisees, you're feeding on a spirit that brings poison into your system. It's toxic. And that's why he said, beware of it. The answer to the leaven of the Pharisees, the antidote for it, is the leaven of the kingdom. The answer to a religious spirit is be a disciple. It's all about displacement. Again, no vacuum. Something's going to prevail in your life. You say, well, I kind of like a little bit of both, you know, a little bit of the religious because I want to pretend and I want some of the truth. Well, if you want to know how that turns out, read Revelation 3, the letter to the Laodicean church. There's no middle state with this. Like the wheat and the tares, though, we can have both leavens operating in our life. I'm not saying that the instant you say, I want all the leaven of the Pharisee gone out of me, that it goes. It's a process. But one is meant to displace the other. And what we want to see is with the shepherd's heart and when the love of God is flowing and things are in a right focus, that leaven of the kingdom, things of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit grows. Amen. And it begins to crowd out that religious spirit. First Corinthians 5, verse 6 and 7. Just kind of laying a foundation here. Paul says, in fact, we'll just look at, 1 Corinthians 5, 6, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. Clean out the old leaven. We can read on, but I want you just to grab hold of that statement. What Paul is saying is you do not have to live with the leaven of the Pharisees. You do not have to have something toxic in your internal being robbing you of your spiritual life. God has put a leaven in us through the Word of God, the pure Word of God. That's His kingdom. That's His Spirit. That's meant to grow in us and fill us. Like it said, that leaven goes into the meal, and what does it do? It fills the entire meal. And we have in our spirit the authority to say, I want the old leaven cleaned out. I want the religious leaven that has brought poison to my life, I want it gone. And that's an operation that the Spirit brings to us. Now the problem with leaven, even when we've made that decision and we can see that we don't want anything to do with the religious spirit, leaven has a tendency to hide. And you kind of clean things out, and there's always these corners where that leaven can, pockets of leaven can be. I'm thinking of a few examples. Someone can go through a very hard experience, and we're talking about church here. We all have a long history with church. And, you know, they can go through a problem with authority, let's say. Things get off with leadership. Many years pass, and there's that religious leaven that's left. The person says, well, I'll never do that again. I'll never be caught in a system like that. No one's going to take control of me. Fine and good. That's a good lesson to learn. But that leaven can remain where that person is also saying, I will never trust authority again. Whenever I open up to be vulnerable and trust, I'm going to be disappointed. Okay, now that's not true. All authority is not that way. All authority is not controlling and doesn't go off on wrong tangents. In the earth today, as in any generation, there are true shepherds that care about people and want them shepherded according to God's heart. So when we let the leaven remain in us, we get over experiences, but we don't get the poison out of our system. And it blocks us from really growing the way we need to grow in the Lord. Some people come to a point where it's not just a matter of trust. You know, I can't trust authority anymore. Why? Because what could happen to me 30 years ago? Well, does that mean because that happened to you 30 years ago, it's going to keep happening? No. You see, it's that leaven that tells you that. Don't trust again. Or people get to a place where what I call false expectations. You know, if you've been disappointed by leadership, why am I only talking about that? I think maybe a lot of us in this room can identify with that. There's a lot of, you know, you can fill in the blanks any way you want with different examples. But I'm thinking about how we, when we've been disappointed by people, or let's say people over our life, we can get to a point where we expect perfection. It's kind of like the first time a leader will make a mistake. I've been through that before. I'm out of here. Well, again, that leaven distorts things. Nobody's going to be perfect. You don't need perfect leadership. If you've got human beings in the mix, nothing's going to be perfect. But you need to know that the heart of the Father is in control and his heart is coming through. So leaven, when it's hidden like that, we may not be conscious of it, but it's blocking our growth. It's blocking our ability to trust again and to really move on in the Spirit. Important that it get cleaned out. We're going to finish with chapter 23 of Matthew. This is really the heart of the message. And in going there, we're going to look at what is this leaven of the Pharisees? What is the religious spirit all about? Please identify with these things. If you look at it and say, well, I'm not like that, see if you can find things in your own ego, past, present, even maybe things you're struggling with right now, and say, yeah, that's kind of going on in me. Don't condemn yourself. If it's the leaven of the Pharisees, Paul said you can clean it out. Realize that it may have had a hold on your life. It may be a sliver just hiding in a closet somewhere, but it can be completely exposed and removed from your life. We don't have to live with that. Okay, Matthew 23. Let me get there with you. We're not going to go through the whole chapter. Aren't you glad? I mean, it's a good one to go through, but we're going to pick out different things. Verse 4, it says, they tie up heavy loads, lay them on men's shoulders. They themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. Talking about the Pharisees. Okay, what's this religious leaven yeast all about? It's all about taking people and laying burdens on them, and then the leadership says, I don't have to do that. You guys are going to do that. I'll tell you what, one good thing to do, and if you're really following the Lord, you follow people that are examples. Paul said, follow me, and I've heard a lot of ministers grab onto that. Yeah, see, Paul said, follow him, so you're supposed to follow me. What Paul was talking about was his total commitment to Christ. He said, I'm given over to Christ completely. Follow that example. I'm embracing the cross. Hey, people, follow me. You embrace the cross, too. That's what it means to follow leadership. You follow the example that's being laid out before you. And this whole thing of people saying, we want you to do this, this happens in church a lot, doesn't it? People get this heavy burden put on them. It seems like the leadership kind of skates, and all of a sudden, things distort where people think, well, that's what I've got to do. We all need to do it together. Remember we talked about last week how we're all fellow bondservants? It's very, very important. When you see something like that happening where the leadership is not doing what they're telling everybody else to do, you have a religious spirit being manifest. That's not something you want to feed on. Anyway, I don't want to stay right there. Let's go on to verse 5. Now we get into some of the stuff I think is really important for us today. They do all their deeds to be noticed by men. They broaden their phylacteries, lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets, the chief seats in the synagogues. Okay, you know what phylacteries were? There were like scrolls of paper. Paragraphs of the law were written on them. The Israelites had them way back, and the reason for that was, remember God told Israel, you're going to be a peculiar people to me? So it's kind of like a part of their identity, having the word, the law written. Okay, what the Pharisees did is they took them, it says they made them broad, they made them nice and large for everybody to see. It's the syndrome I call, look at me, look at me. That's the religious spirit. Look at how great I am. And so the Pharisees were doing all this and really missed the whole spirit of it. When it was initially instituted, it was about bringing glory to God and for Israel to identify with God. But here the Pharisees are building a kingdom for themselves, and they're doing it for people to notice them. It's like when we wear the word and we don't live it. We wear the word. What am I talking about? We have all these doctrines, and we can get up there and just go, this is what I believe, this is what the word says. Look at me, look at the image I create, the great knowledge I have of the Bible, the teachings I have. But a religious spirit can do that very well, but what a religious spirit cannot do is live the life. What the word of God is all about is not you promoting some image. It's all about the fruit of the Spirit manifesting through you. What is the kingdom of God? Not meat and drink, Romans says. Peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. So here that leaven of the Pharisees is all about, look at me. And the leaven of the kingdom is all about the fruit of the Spirit that causes people to look at Christ. Very, very different, isn't it? They go on to say, they love to be called rabbi. Verse 8, do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. My goodness. You can be in the church world and it seems like people ought to just put on their lapel. Look who I am. I am apostle this, I am prophet that. And most people are not quite that obvious. But if you talk to them for a few minutes, they might as well be that obvious. They want you to recognize their importance. How do we get so far from the truth? Jesus says, do not let this happen. And then we do the very thing he says, don't let it happen. Why? Because of the leaven, that poison that gets in and distorts things. Now, why was it so important for the Pharisees to be called father? Why did they want that so much? Because they wanted people to obey them. So if people called them father, they could exact obedience from the people with no questions asked. People want you to recognize their title so you'll do what they tell you to do. What's the danger in this besides it being totally off? It pulls people away from their obedience to God. People lose their conscience to what the Spirit is speaking, and all they care about is, the leaders tell me to do this, I've got to do it. Again, that's 11. You've got to be very careful. If you are submissive to God, truly submissive to God, you will be submissive to his authorities in the earth. One flows out of the other. But there are people that are submissive to men and women in church that have no submission to God. They have no idea what God is speaking. All they want to do is please the one that's their leader. And why do they want to do that? Because if they do that, then they get exalted. All about ego. So the Pharisees wanted to be called father so that they could tell people, if I'm your father, you got to do what I say. This is good. I've got to read this to you. True authority is seen not in demanding obedience from others, but in serving others. Verse 12 says, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. This scripture and this principle is repeated often through the word. If a person is truly humble, they are not concerned about status. That's the true leaven at work in someone's heart. Anyone here been concerned about status, image? Why am I the only one raising my hand? You've been here how many years with this? Okay, that's not about true leaven. Humility is all about being a bondservant. When we're concerned about our status and how other people see us, we're not humble at that point. And that's that leaven of the Pharisees working on our ego. Let me just read this one verse to you real quick. In Galatians, Paul says, "Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Wow. Paul's saying, if I'm seeking status, I'm not a bondservant. It's one or the other. So, again, if you can identify with this, you can say, okay, please don't condemn yourself. Just say, gee, I see where that leaven's been affecting me. We can get free from it. That's the good news. All right, let's go down to verse 13. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You shut off the kingdom of heaven from men. You do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." The religious spirit, one of the big poisons that come through, is it doesn't move forward spiritually, and it becomes a wall to anyone that's trying to move forward. What's true ministry all about? How did Jesus describe himself in John 10? He said, "I am the gate." True ministry is a door. It's open. If you're relating to a true ministry, you know your freedom in the Spirit, and you are growing. You're moving forward. When does ministry get false, or when is it, if it's impacted by a religious spirit, the door becomes a wall. And all of a sudden, you're trying to go forward, and you can't get around the leadership. Jesus warned about it. What's he say we're supposed to do? Just wait until the wall goes away? I think you ought to find where the gate is. Find where the open door is and move through it. Okay, he goes on in verse 15. "You travel about on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much the son of hell as yourselves." I like the way Jesus is so subtle in this chapter, isn't he? Again, he recognizes the poison that's here. He knows how it affects people, so he's not mixing his words at all. Religious spirit is all about controlling people and causing them to think the way you think, making a proselyte. Here's how you got to think about things. What it's not about is helping people think like God. Amen. Spiritual ministry is about your mind being renewed in Christ. If the leaven of the Pharisees are there, you're going to feel pressure. I've got to think like those over me. You don't need to think like me. If you knew what went on in my mind, you would not have you'd be worried about that at all. I'm here to help you find the mind of Christ, because that's what I'm seeking for. It's about his mind. Okay. All right. Now, verses 13. No, let's go verse 23 through 28. And before I start there, we're almost done. We're not too much further. Let me just read this to you out of Mark. Real quick. He said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me.'" I'm reading this from Mark. You don't need to go there. "Teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. You nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition." Okay, now Matthew 23. "Woe to you," in verse 23, "woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These are things you should have done without neglecting the others." Okay. You can read this again if you want to read Micah chapter 6 about what's important to God. Now, what Jesus is saying is, he's not saying you shouldn't tithe. Remember, this is still under the old covenant. New covenant came into place when his blood was shed and when he was resurrected. He's not saying you people are wrong to tithe. What he's saying is, you do the tithing part, But you've forgotten about what's more important than that: truth, mercy, justice. When we substitute the law for spiritual qualities of heart, that's the influence of a religious spirit. And that's what happens when we're under that influence. Things distort. Things, I call it, we major on minors. Things of minor importance get blown way up. Everybody's got to do these things. Things of major importance, like the love of God and forgiveness, and they get pushed into a back corner somewhere. Distortion happens. We've got to be careful and be aware of that. Outer piety conceals the inner wickedness. We promote human traditions in place of God's word. We focus on the image rather than the heart. These are all things that come out of that. Now, a verse right here, he says, "You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." You know the history behind that? The rabbis, when they would make wine, would have a way of straining it to strain the gnats out of it, so it'd be pure. And so what Jesus is saying, you guys are real good at doing that, but you swallow the camel. Camels were known to be unclean animals. Again, there's that distortion with the religious spirit. Focus on the things that aren't that important. It's good to do them. You make sure you get those done, but the bigger issues, qualities of heart, the attitudes of heart, you forget about, you ignore. When we have a shepherd's heart, we have the proper emphasis from the word, things that we need to focus on. Okay. One more thing here. If we go down to verse 37 through 39, and we'll finish with this. Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you shall not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Your house is being left to you desolate. He's talking about the temple. And what he's saying is God is no longer over this house. Remember, in AD 70, the temple was completely destroyed. When we're influenced by a religious spirit, at some point we lose contact with God's presence. Where's the house of God now? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But if we're filled with that toxic poison, it becomes our life, our will, our way, void of God's influence and presence. When it's his leaven working within us, we're his house, we're his temple. He fills us. Now, with this religious leaven, what happens? Jesus said, "I wanted to gather you." What was the response of the Pharisees to that? They couldn't discern it. God was doing this. It's like the prodigal son, the father saying, "Come, come, I've waited for you." When we're under the influence of that leaven of the Pharisees, we do not discern the movement of God's Spirit. We're not aware of his love trying to gather us. A religious spirit is under a sense of kind of a cloud of condemnation and guilt. It's a negativity that's always brewing. And that mindset can never embrace the love of the Father or how the Lord is reaching out to pull us to himself. That's what Jesus was saying. He says, "I want you to come to me. I want to gather you, but you're unwilling." That religious spirit is unwilling. Where there's that shepherd's heart, and we have the leaven of the kingdom growing in our lives, what does it produce? A willing spirit to God. We're aware of how he's moving. We're aware of how his presence is drawing us. And we're saying yes to it. Completely different response. We're able to see. Jesus said, "You'll not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" When we are in that atmosphere of the shepherd's heart, we're able to see who God is truly sending. We're able to see how he's moving, and we're able to welcome that into our lives. The Pharisees could never get that. They looked, and the same realities were happening right in front of them. Jesus was walking in their midst, but they sensed no gathering. They weren't aware of any love trying to pull them in. They just had that heart that was stubborn and unwilling to bend before God. So as we stand before him today, it behooves us to be really serious about leaven. Like Paul said, let's allow the Holy Spirit to help us clean out all that leaven that's been toxic to our life, that's been poisonous to us. Because when you really see it for what it is, it stands between you and the Father. It's there to destroy your relationship to God. It's there to take away your spiritual freedom. It's there to take you away from the grace of God. And when we say, Lord, I want that cleaned out. I want the leaven of your kingdom in its place. It's what we're saying is, Father, you're my shepherd. I want your love to prevail and invade every area of my life and fill me with your presence. Amen. Let's stand.